I'm going to use some scripture this morning. I'm going to skip around a little bit this morning. If I have a thought that I would like for you to think about this morning, it would be two words: too late. In the Song of Solomon, there are what I probably would consider to be the saddest text that you could use out of the Word of the Lord. I'm trying to find it. I've got it down here. So, I sought him, but I could not find him. I called, but he gave me no answer. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called, but he gave me no answer. I'm convinced that there is such a thing as people waiting too long and waiting too late. And that's not only for people who are lost, but in particular lost people. But I think that is true many times for God's people, that the Lord gives us the leadership of His Spirit. He gives us His direction, and for whatever reason, we fail to carry out what it is that He has laid upon our hearts. I want to use a few different portions of the Word of the Lord this morning to demonstrate to you from the Word what happens when people wait until it's too late. I think probably the very first one, if you go back in the Word of the Lord, and one that I've mentioned here just recently, was Noah. When God had looked down upon the earth and saw the very thoughts and the intents of man's heart was continually evil, and that they were living as so there was no end and nothing to be worried about. And God finally said, "That's enough. It's enough." And he said, "I will destroy man whom I have created. And every fowl of the air and every beast of the field." I one time preached, and this was many, many years ago, and after I'd started home, while Lee was with me at the time, and he said, "Hey," he said, "you made a mistake in your preaching tonight." And I've made a lot of mistakes in my preaching, I can tell you that. But this was pretty early on, and I was a little surprised that Lee was observant enough to be able to pick it up, but he did. And I said, what did I preach wrong? Well, he said, "You got up there and you said that Noah took all the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field and the fishes of the sea into the ark with him." He said, "They never took any fish into the ark with him." He said, "They're swimming around out there." I said, "Okay, you're right. You know, I just kind of a nice little thing you get habit of saying, you know, the fowls of the air, the fishes of the sea, and the beasts of the field." But when God had given Noah the instructions and had said, I want you to build the ark. I'm going to tell you exactly how I want it built. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do in preparation of the time that I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. And Noah found grace in God's eyes. And God took Noah and his household. He took the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field into the ark with him. And once he had them in there, the Bible says that God shut the door. And I'm convinced when God shut the door, there was nothing else that went into that ark. There is going to come a time when God is going to say, "It is enough." And he's going to shut the door. And calamity is going to begin to come. Don't wait until it's too late. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You need to listen as the Lord speaks to your heart. And I say this to both saved and unsaved, but in particular, if there's anyone here this morning who's lost, that you listen to the voice of the Lord. It's not going to be big, not going to be powerful. It's going to be that still, small voice that speaks to your heart. Listen to Him. Heed that instruction and follow Him. He made a perfect plan. It is a perfect plan of salvation. Does not need anything added to it or anything taken away from it. It's perfect as it is. And we need to be able to follow it. The second one in the Word of the Lord that waited too late was, again, a fellow that you're quite familiar with. And that was Lot. Lot was living down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he thought he was having the time of his life. He was trying to be like those people were, in spite of the fact that he wasn't one of them. Lot was still one of God's chosen children. And in spite of the life that he was living, he still was God's child. And finally, God looked down and he saw the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he said, I'm going to wipe them out. And you remember how that Abraham, he had pled with the Lord and said, Lord, if I can go down there and I can find, he started out, I think, with like 50 righteous people, would you spare them? The Lord said, if you can find 50 righteous people, I'll spare them. And he said, come right on down, 40, 30, would you spare it for 10? And the Lord said, I'll spare the city if you can find 10 righteous people down there. Couldn't be found. But he did send an angel down to Lot, and to warn him that destruction was going to come. My responsibility this morning is to tell you that destruction is going to come, and also to tell you that there is a certain time that God is going to say, that's enough. Lot entertained the angels that came down there and wanted to invite them to his home. The people, the residents, or the natives of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah showed how much of an acceptance Lot had with them whenever that he wanted to entertain these angels who had come to warn him to flee from the city. And he, whenever he wanted to take them into his home, the residents had said, no, we're going to take them out here and we're going to kill them. And Lot said, no, don't do that. He offered his daughters as sacrifice unto these people. I said, no, we don't want your daughters. You got to remember, these are Sodomites. They weren't interested in his daughters. They were interested in these men. The Lord finally said, Lot, I am going to destroy the city, and you've got to get out of the city. Lot had waited too long. He went out and he pled with his daughters and his sons-in-laws to come and go with him. And they didn't believe him. Let me tell you something. As a child of God, you have a great and grave responsibility that you have credibility with people that you come in contact with as one of God's children. And you need to take that very seriously. You need not think that when you finally get to a serious situation that that's going to be the only time that you're going to need the Lord. You need the Lord every single day of your life, and we need to live like that. We have the Lord in our hearts and our lives. Are we going to be perfect? Absolutely not. Point that I want you to understand this morning is, as long as we're trying to be like everybody else and we want to look like everybody else and we want to teach and we want to preach like everybody else, we're not doing what God wants us to do. God doesn't say, I want you to be like everybody else. God says, you are a peculiar people. You are a separated people. And you have a responsibility to live your life. Lot goes out and he speaks to his daughters and his sons-in-law. And they make fun of him. Make light of him. I hope that. And there are times whenever that I have a lot of foolishness about me. But I hope that people can tell the difference whenever I'm serious about something and when I'm just carrying on with some of my foolishness. Let me tell you something. There isn't anything any more serious than the souls of men that are lost. That's the most serious thing there is today. I don't care what else we may do. We may, you know, we talk, we spend a lot of our time, we spend a lot of our money, we spend a lot of effort in getting people to come to church. We want the church to look nice, and we're always doing things to make everything improve. But sometimes I think we get to the point to where that we've got so wrapped up in all of those things that we forget what our fundamental purpose is. And that's to win souls for the Lord. To preach the gospel that people would not wait until it's too late. Too late. Many of us have experiences in our lives that we could probably share if we were of a mind to do so, that we could say, I waited until it was too late to do something. I should have done it, and I didn't. And we probably will live with those regrets the rest of our lives. But there's one thing that I guarantee you this morning that is more serious than even that, and that is that those who are lost don't wait until it's too late. Lot, I cannot destroy the city. Cannot until you're out of it. Let me tell you something. I want to say this to those who might be here and lost this morning. I am not going to go through the great destruction that's going to come here upon the earth one of these days that is going to come, because I'm one of his children. And you had the opportunity to be one of his children and escape that destruction too. But you will be because you're one of his children. And I'm not one of his children because of any good thing I ever did, or because of who, where I came from, or who my parents were, or anything else. But it's because of God's mercy and his grace. One of the writers wrote and said, God is not slack concerning, I used this last week, concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lot, I cannot destroy the city until you're out of there. God's going to come one of these days before that final destruction comes to mankind here upon the earth. And if you think that destruction is not going to be severe, the Bible says in that day that those who are left here will be crying out that death would overtake them. They're crying out for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that is to come. But they waited until it's too late. The angels take Lot, bring him out of the city. His wife looked back, and for a long time, I simply could not understand why is that in the Word of the Lord? Why is it that it's got in there about Lot's wife looking back and being turned to a pillar of salt? And then, as I was reading one time, it just became as clear to me as could be. And some of you probably known that all your lives, and I'm just one of those people that I didn't know. I know why she looked back. Her children were back there. Her daughters were there in the city. Why wouldn't you, if you cared anything at all about your children and you've come out? Talking about New York City. I don't care whether it's New York City or Wheatland. If my children were in Wheatland and I knew destruction was coming on Wheatland, and my children weren't ready for that destruction to come, I'll guarantee you I'd look back. I probably would do more than look back. I'd probably go back. Now, God has ways of preventing that from happening. But she looked back because it was too late. His life that he had lived, and I'm talking now of Lot, was an example that we should not be following. Wanting to be like everybody else, to live like those people were living like down there. And having a good time until this happened. Tragedy came to his life. There's another fellow in the Word of the Lord named Belshazzar. He was a king. He was powerful. He was popular. He had taken the children of Israel as captives, and he had taken all of the vessels out of the temple and brought them as some of his loot or his trophies. And he threw a big party, an orgy, for 1,000 of his friends. 1,000 of them came. And while they were drinking and while they were having all of the festivities that go along with the big party, he happened to remember that they had those vessels that came out of the temple in Jerusalem. So he sent some of those Jewish servants and said, "You go get them and bring them down here. I'm going to add injury to insult. We're going to take those vessels that were consecrated unto God and to be used in the worship of the Lord, and we're going to get drunk out of them. We're going to use them as vessels to drink and to have our orgy." And he was in a stupor, and all of a sudden, suddenly, on the wall, there was a writing with the hand of a man. And the Bible says even in his drunken stupor, he sobered up enough that he realized this was something that was unusual was happening. And that which was written upon the wall, he couldn't interpret. So he sent for people to come and to tell him what it said. Basically what it said is that the kingdom is taken from you. And this night, you're going to die. This night. Oh, my goodness. We've spent the early part of the morning here planning how we're going to handle our little situation of today. Some of us, anyway, not all of you. But every one of us here this morning have some plan as to what we're going to do as soon as this service is over. Where we're going, where we're going to eat, what we're going to do for the rest of the day. What if God were to say, "You know what? Your time's up. I don't find any place where that couldn't happen. I'm convinced, you know, that every one of us has got a time written up there. And when that time comes, it doesn't make any difference where we are, what we're doing, what our plans are. It'll happen." Belshazzar waited until it was too late. Here he was having the time of his life. And that very night, he died. They killed him, and someone else became the king. Over in the New Testament, you've been in the Old Testament too long. Let me get over into the New Testament. In the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, it talks about 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 wise had taken oil in their lamps. They had made preparation for the time when the bridegroom was going to come. The 5 foolish had not made that preparation. Now, the Bible very clearly teaches me that no man is entitled to call someone else a fool excepting the Lord. God's the one who calls the fool. And God said in his word, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's foolish. But the Bible says there were 10 of them, 5 wise, 5 foolish. They waited for the bridegroom to come. They all had their vessels. They all looked pretty much alike. You couldn't tell any difference at that point in time. But as the bridegroom tarried, they became tired and sleepy, and they all went to sleep. At midnight, the cry came out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." They all awoke. They all went to light their lamps, but 5 foolish had no oil for their lamps. I cannot tell by looking at a single one of you this morning what's going on in your heart. Not one of you. I look at your facial expressions. I try to make eye contact with people. But I cannot tell what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mind. It's not mine to know. But I'll tell you one who does know. The Bible says that God knows the very thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He knows every single thing. That only God could do that. You know, there is no humanly way possible that anyone else could do that. But He knows every one of our hearts. He knows this morning whether or not you're one of those who's prepared for the bridegroom to come. And He is going to come one of these days. He's going to come. It'll be suddenly, It'll be without any big announcement. There'll be no time to get ready. The time to get ready is now, and not wait until it's too late. There was another man in the Word of the Lord, and again in the New Testament, who he had been blessed. He had been able to accumulate a huge amount of property. And he was happy and satisfied with what he had. And the Bible says so that then that God spoke to him through the Spirit, through an angel. Because he had said, you know what? I've got to tear down these old barns and build bigger and better because I've got so much. Let me tell you something. One of these days, and I just say this time and time again, every one of us are going to go back to the dust of the earth from whence we came. Yeah. Every one of us. We're not going to take any of this stuff with us. We all have some stuff. Some of you don't have near as much as I do. And I'm not saying that braggingly. I'm ashamed that I've got so much stuff that I just told Bart yesterday. I said, you can see now why I worry about Diamla having to come in one of these days and take care of all the stuff we got out there. And for those of you who don't know, Diamla is my daughter. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to take any of that with me. I'm not even going to take this suit that I've got on. Nah. If I were to drop dead here in the next 5 minutes, I won't take a bit of that with me. Matter of fact, there won't be anything that will go with me other than the spirit's going to go back to God who gave it and the body's going to go back to the dust of the earth from whence it come. Be also ready and for such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We need to be ready and not wait until it's too late. The Bible says this man, he said, well, you know, I'll tear down my old barns. I'll build bigger and I'll build better and I'll be able to take my ease. I'll be able to enjoy my life. And the Bible said that he said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? The wise old man Solomon said one time, he said, how do I know whether the one who's going to follow after me will be a wise or a foolish one? This is also vanity and vexation of the spirit, because one may be just as wise as I am, or wiser, and it may be just as foolish as there is. Who's going to get what I've left behind? But we're going to leave it behind. The important thing is to be ready. The last one is out of the book of Revelation. And this is the one that are those people who've waited until it's too late. When you go over, and I'm running a little over time, if you go over and you look at the great white throne judgment, those people who are there are going to plead with the Lord. They're going to try to justify what they've done down here upon the earth and effectively argue with the Lord that they should be entitled to go into heaven. The books are there. That's going to be these books, all of them. They're going to be there. That's what we're going to be judged according to. This is the measurement stick. This is the yardstick. And every single one of us. Now, not every single one of us are going to be there at the white throne judgment. So please don't go out of here and say, oh, the preacher got it and said everyone's going to be. No. The only ones who are going to be there are the dead. And for those of you who've been saved, you are not dead anymore. You are alive. Alive forevermore. That's why you'll hear me preach two different resurrections. You'll hear me preach two different judgments. I don't make any apologies for it. But those who are at the white throne judgment are going to be those who are dead. But they're going to argue with the Lord and say, Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things while we're down here? They're going to argue their works. But they waited too late. And they're going to hear him say, depart from me into everlasting punishment, ye workers of iniquity, for I know you not. And they will be cast into the lake of fire where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, because they waited until it was too late. Now, I want to close this morning was saying this. Every single one of you still have the opportunity right now, as long as you have breath in your body, and as long as God's Spirit is dealing with your heart, to do whatever it is that you need to do. I'm going to ask us to stand and sing a song of invitation this morning. I would certainly say to you and encourage you, if you're here this morning, God has spoken to your heart. Saved or unsaved, either one. Listen to Him. Let Him have His way with you.